Babylon was great not because Babylon's king was rich. Babylon was great because its people, its merchants, its nobles were wealthy. And when Babylon needed to go fight a war, they could draw on those resources. You know, communities can do the same thing when they need to try to address their homelessness problems or their transportation issues.
Right.
If their business community members are strong,
Right. That
makes the community strong. And then they can have better schools, they can do better things, they can think bigger.
Welcome to the Small Business Storyteller Show, the podcast designed to learn from the successes and the failures of small businesses making an impact. My name is Seth Silvers, and after 4 years of helping small businesses learn to market with stories, I've learned that someone might be selling something similar to you, but nobody, absolutely no one, can compete with your stories. This show is dedicated to diving into the one thing that makes every small business unique, their story, and learning from the good and the hard parts. If you see business as a tool for good, and you want to learn from others who believe the same, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Small Business Storyteller Show. We have an incredible episode for you today, and I can't wait to hear your feedback on this amazing conversation. Today, I sit down with a dear friend of mine, Kurt Baer, who is the founder and owner of the Loco Think Tank. Kurt has built a business of value-driven peer advisory groups, and I've been part of one for the last year and a half or so. And this conversation is amazing because Kurt is empowering local business owners to grow their business really without driving themselves crazy or getting burnt out like so many do. And so I kind of want you to be wondering, have you ever asked yourself, where do business owners go for advice? And how do they know what to do with employees? Or how do they break through difficult challenges they're facing? If you've ever wondered any of those questions, then I think you'll love this episode. Also, keep in mind that this episode should be fun because you'll be getting to know Kurt better over the next several episodes as Kurt kind of comes in at the end of the episodes to help us pull out practical takeaways for small business owners. And to really identify in each episode how we can not just listen to a good story or a good conversation, but actually apply it to our business. So with all of that being said, let's dive into this conversation that I really think you'll enjoy with Kurt Baer. Welcome to this week's episode of the Small Business Storyteller Show. I am sitting here with Kurt Baer. Kurt, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for bringing me in, Seth.
Absolutely. And we mentioned it in our intro, this concept of value-driven peer advisory groups. That's kind of one of the things that your business is built on. Before we dive in further to your story, kind of give us the elevator pitch of what Loco Think Tank is and really what you're about, and we'll go deeper after that.
Oh, thanks. You know, value-driven peer advisory, it's kind of, I guess, how do I say it? It's kind of a shortcut to saying how we build our groups. And it's about having shared values of abundance thinking, of coming in with your membership dues and your special skill or talent. But more so, it's especially on the foundation, which is our local facilitators. And those are the retired, high-achieving small business owners that we say they work for paychecks, not paychecks. They want to be involved. They want to share some of their story with the these younger entrepreneurs and people that are growing their businesses. But especially, they just want to kind of live vicariously through this other journey. And that allows us to really give an affordable price to the small business owner that can't afford a set of high-priced consultants or other sources of learning.
So walk me through, as a small business owner, you know, I'm in one of your groups, so I know the value of it and I know the logistics of it. But for a lot of our audience who might not even know what peer advisory is, they don't know what those groups are. What does it look like on a practical level for somebody to, you know, be a client or customer, if you will, sure, of Loco Think Tank, and what can they kind of expect?
Sure. Well, that's a great question. And yeah, I probably jump ahead sometimes. So peer advisory, it's applying the Socratic method, really, to questions with a group of peers. So these peers are basically acting in the manner of a board of directors, for the member. And so each member will take their turn presenting an issue, a challenge, an opportunity. We kind of look at them all the same thing. And getting feedback from other group members that have particular areas of expertise. We all have strengths and weaknesses. And so by building a diverse group of peers that are going through similar challenges, they can be objective about your situation because they don't have a dog in your fight, but you know that they care about you. They've come to trust one another. Once people find a safe place to process, that becomes one of their most treasured times, really.
That's great. So it's business owners getting together once a month. What do those meetings kind of look like?
You know, they run a fairly recurring pattern, I'll say. Most meetings, the facilitators and the groups really have some flexibility as to exactly how they manage their meeting. They might bring a speaker in. They might have a different check-in process. But generally speaking, members check in for 3 or 4 minutes, let everybody know what they're up to on a business and personal side. For that small business owner that has, you know, 5 or 10 or 20 employees, there is really no great, it's difficult to separate business and personal. So we say, check in on the business and personal side. We go into a focus member presentation every month, which is a member giving the other group members a peek behind the curtain of their business. This is my org chart. These are my financials. This is my 1 and 3 year strategic goals, and et cetera. We give them a template to give the other members a really good understanding of what their business operates like and what their strategic challenges are, if you will. That same member then gets a issue processed. And so we go through a process of putting an issue on the table. Should I fire my sales manager? Should I close my South location? Should I start this new product offering? We go through some background as the member, the presenter does. The group members then get a chance to ask clarifying questions for 15 or 20 minutes maybe. The facilitator is guiding each step of this. So that's part of the value proposition, if you will, is this facilitator isn't a teacher. They're there to keep the meeting on track, follow the agenda. Mm-hmm. And so they'll turn it over to suggestions once those clarifying questions have come out. And then if you're the presenter, as you know, Seth,
right.
They'll say, yes, Seth, you should definitely develop this online platform for teaching storytelling as a practice. And here's some suggestions we have around how you should do that. So it becomes sometimes a bit of a focus group where you can get kind of a clear and objective opinion about your offering, your messaging, things like that. But also, what are my strategic decisions that I should be making?
Yeah, and I'll share a little bit just kind of into my story because, you know, I've loved being a part of it. I've loved having access to a facilitator who's an experienced business person and really wants me to be successful. But also, I just feel like so often as a business owner, you don't really have people to talk to. It's like everybody in the world is accountable to somebody except for the people that are everybody's bosses.
That's right.
Yeah. Oftentimes. And I know there's, you know, there's some different structures of how people can be accountable and different things. But at the end of the day, you just need camaraderie and business. The business journey and building your own company can be a lonely one at times. And so I think it's hugely valuable once a month for me to be able to come together with, 8 to 12 other business owners and to get to help them process some of their issues. But even just, you know, 2 months ago, it was my time of the year to be able to present. And it came at a really timely position in my year because I had, just had a big transition where one of my clients had offered me a job and saying no to this job kind of put me in a place where I really had to face some big decisions of if I'm saying no to great opportunities, I really need to invest some serious effort into getting my business to a place that that is where I want it to be. And so I was able to, you know, come to the group and initially present, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. What are the gaps that you see? What are the holes that you see in my plan that I'm going to be implementing? And there was a lot of really valuable feedback in that. And there was also a lot of valuable affirmation to where I don't know if I would be in business without some of the just affirmation and confirmation and I guess just support of the group. I want to get into a little bit of like the why. I touched on it a little bit with the entrepreneurs being lonely.
Yeah.
Why do people need peer advisory groups? Because I feel like it's the kind of thing that you don't know exists until you do. And then once you do, you like really see the need for it. But I think there's a lot of business owners out there that they don't even know that this, they don't even know the problems they have. So why did you start this and kind of what dive into some of the problems that this exists to help solve?
Sure. Well, that's a great question, a great prompt. You know, I'll share the Loco Think Tank. People ask me sometimes, well, what's Loco Think Tank? And, you know, it's local community think tank, but it's also make you crazy if you don't talk to somebody about these challenges of operating a small business. It's make your spouse crazy if you ask them one more time what they think you should do. And it was really from my experience as a banker that I saw that people that had these kinds of communities, whether that was a high-priced membership model or it was just a group of individuals that would have breakfast once a week or once a month for a couple of hours, having that safe place to process all the way up to the upper levels of government, frankly, the highest achievers always tend to find some safe places. But there are just too many people that just kind of toil on in lonely frustration and wonder what the next best decision is for my small business. And so that's why I started it.
That's awesome. And I mean, I think that's so valuable to point out that people don't really find success alone. And I think that our culture, you know, we elevate personalities and individuals so much that we kind of assume that, you know, that Jeff Bezos single-handedly built Amazon when there's probably 5,000 people that we don't know their names, that Amazon would not exist without them, and, you know, probably even more than that. And so I think it's really valuable to show that, you know, people need support.
I was about 35 years old when I reached the conclusion, if you will, that the smartest person in the room didn't have all the best answers, not all the right answers, you know, right. and just realizing, and I'm shocked at myself that it took me that many years, but once I realized it, I just saw that the power of having this collaborative force of perspective and knowledge and wisdom from different angles really is what allows you to understand challenges better. And that's true whether you're in a governmental situation, whether you're in a societal or community organization, if you're trying to find a best way to deal with the homelessness challenge. You know, you just got to get a lot of voices from different sectors into the conversation to understand it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's true. That is one of the unique things is, you know, in just because everybody's not in the same industry doesn't mean that they can't help you. We're recording this in a co-working space where there's a lot of different businesses. And I've seen that it's really valuable to rub shoulders with people that are not doing what you're doing. And it's not like they can't provide insight into what you're doing and into some of the challenges. And I've been pleasantly surprised over the last few years at how people that, you know, they might own a sticker printing company or a light store or a photography studio or something, like they have valuable insight into some of the challenges that I'm facing as a media and marketing company.
You know, business is one of our things. We grow these diverse groups and it's, whether you're a service industry or a manufacturer or, a creative person, it's all about, you know, revenues. It's about building teams. It's about all the things, but we're all lacking in some of those areas of strength. And right. So
I know there's some other models out there similar to this. Okay. You know, I think the popular one is Vistage, and it's a lot more expensive. And it's, I think, you know, there's pros and cons to every model. What would you say really makes Loco Think Tank unique from a brand perspective and from a, you know, from a story perspective of what causes Loco Think Tank to stand out from some of the more traditional, like CEOs getting together in a room and talking through their problems?
Yeah. You know, I've thought a lot about this. You know, we were a company that was 3 years old and had three chapters established before we wrote down our mission and our vision and our values. it was just me building trusting relationships with finding these facilitators and finding people that were willing to share and be in a vulnerable space. So it was relationship driven from the start. It was, you know, it's a group for nice people. One of our values is we encourage and admonish with loving kindness. And it's an abundance mentality perspective. So
can you dive into that a little bit more? Because I know you use that language a lot, but yeah, that's not language people use a lot.
Well, so our first value is has been my motto, ask of your needs and share of your abundance. And, you know, that goes in part to my own faith journey. When I realized how much I've been blessed, then I knew that I had to share back whatever I had to offer to the world as well.
And, right.
And ask of your needs is really significant too. We really do have needs, and we need to understand things. We need a safe place to process as humans. We need community. We have needs. We can't pretend that we're islands of strength as individuals. But abundance mindset, sorry to go off on a tangent. I'm a world-class conversation derailer. All of my chapter members know that. But abundance mentality is really, you know, people only do bad things when they are coming from a scarcity mindset, when they think they need to grasp and instead of realizing how many places they're blessed in. You know, and so by saying to our members that come in, you know, we have a seat at this table for you. It's the membership dues plus your special talent and what you add to the group dynamic is why we want you there. So we can, it's kind of a 1 + 1 + 1 = 5 thing.
Yeah.
Right? You get more strength the more, if you can have a really good numbers person in the group and a couple of great marketing people and a strong retailer and a visionary leader, right, and somebody that develops people and that's what they do. You know, those people's strengths rub off on each other in, right, those kind of circumstances.
Are there any stories in particular that stand out just from, you know, I imagine you mentioned this was kind of built on the back of your trusting relationships and even, you know, as a banker before you were doing this. And I know you've had a couple other endeavors over the years.
Right.
But like this was built on your relationships with business owners and stuff. And so I imagine that you're pretty deeply connected with some of these businesses. So share with us just some stories that stand out. You know, it doesn't have to be revenue numbers and different things, but how has Loco Think Tank really made an impact in tangible ways on some of your members?
You know, I think, you know, the person I credit with co-founder status of this business group is a guy by the name of Mike LeBate, and I'm sure you'll probably interview him later this season. Mm-hmm. Mike's story is so incredible. But Mike was, when I met him in 2008, was the most likely to go bankrupt next. He had bought at the top of the market with a bad owner of carry deal on a, I'll let him tell you the story. But long story short is he's grown his business. He invested in Vistage, you know, before he could really afford to pay himself $2,000 a month. He took part of that and invested in Vistage, and that got him to move along in the progression of being a business owner. And then he became one of our founding members. He's who told me, hey, Barry, you should start something that's kind of like that, but find a way to make it a lot more affordable. And, you know, how about this person that I know through that network to be a facilitator? And so that was Andrea Grant, and she became the other, I credit as co-founder. And, but Mike, you know, kept developing his business, kept working on his strength. For him, having a safe place of people that will encourage him and say, yes, this is the right next step, has been huge. And he acquired a business twice of his size last year in California, moved it out here. And then this fall, he purchased a 16,000 square foot manufacturing and warehouse facility. And so he's doubled his business 3 times in the last 5 years, and continues to just have opportunities just come across his way. And he's, his fear or caution in pursuing those opportunities is much reduced by processing them in a group of peers and just validating this is the right path and now this, and that kind of thing. So he's a great story. I'll let him tell the rest of it.
Yeah.
But it's been fun to watch unfold because he's just the most humble guy, a quiet visionary leader that just keeps, you know, making a lot of the right moves and having a great time about it.
I love that. That's great. I want to dive into your story a little bit more because I also know, like, you, like, you've had some pretty pivotal moments in Loco Think Tank, like, group, like, right. in meetings for yourself. And so I guess kind of give us like the 30,000 foot view of like what employment history for Kurt Bear has looked like over the last 5 years.
Sure.
And then I'd be really curious to hear just how has like having this support structure that really you built, I mean, you kind of built around yourself and about some, around some of the relationships, how has that support structure and encouragement and advisement at times really guided you to where you are today?
Yeah, it's been a journey for sure. I recruited my marriage counselor to our second think tank chapter when we launched that, and God bless my wife for really just linking arms stronger with me the rougher the hike got. But it's been a journey. Yeah, you know, I was the acting president of a bank about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Developed some restaurant plans. And later became just senior vice president. Again, they hired me a new boss, but realized I just wanted to do something other than banking. Mm-hmm. Banking was, you know, the golden handcuffs were there. I was a, you know, upper five, lower six figure income earner. My wife just had one little part-time job. She now makes more than I do right now, but I'm going to pass her in 2019, I think. We can grow some more chapters, so I'm excited for that, and so is she.
I'm sure.
But, so I started Loco Think Tank when I was trying to start a restaurant. I had left banking. My dad had agreed to support some adventurism, if you will. And I had a couple of locations in mind. And long story short, those locations fell through. And I launched a food truck catering business, basically, called Bear's Backyard Grill.
Which this is about when we met. When
yep. Is that
when
right?
Food trucking.
Yep. So Bear's Backyard Grill was an open trailer that was meant for like catering at house parties for an anniversary or a birthday, company mm-hmm. picnics at the park, that kind of thing. And we did some of the food truck venues and stuff, but we were never like a brewery built. We were there right. for special event catering. And it was fun. And so that's when I launched the first think tank. Had my first season of Bears, and we did about 40,000 in revenue, and you know, probably didn't make any money because I was all into the brand building and all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, and it was fun, and we did some videos and this and that. Got like 900 likes on my Facebook page in the first 6 months, which
nice.
I have 300 likes on the Loco Think Tank page, so different thing. But so going through year two, get into the season, launched a second think tank chapter that next year again, because there was just demand for more services. I had a facilitator for the group. And then that June, I think it was, of year two, I was up to, you know, I think I had my first $10,000 month at least. And so we ended up doing, in 2015, I guess it was, close to $100,000 in revenues. But I was working 75 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Oh, a quick story. I actually hit my peak weight right before I opened for the first season.
Okay.
At 201.
Okay.
And that was in June, middle of June or so in 2014. And by the middle of August, I was 165.
Whoa.
I was like, do I have cancer? Am I dying? And then I started getting chubby again in the wintertime. And so then I was like, oh, I guess I'm okay. But it was work, man, for a 40-year-old guy to go out there and just lug coolers around and cook for 6 hours every Wednesday evening because that's when I had kitchen time.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so started the second think tank chapter. And each of these, you know, were, you know, if I made $300 or $400 a month in each chapter, that was it. So it was
it was like a side hustle.
It was a passion
point.
Project.
Yeah.
I really, you know, barely made any money on it, but I was passionate about it, and so I kept.
And your members loved it.
And my members loved it, and they appreciated the experience once they had it. So, in June of 2015, then I processed with the group. You know, I'm working 70 hours a week, And it's like I solve a really hard puzzle every week poorly, and either make a little money or lose a little money. And so should I buy another food trailer? That was my question to the group. Should I buy another unit so that I can, you know, have two units working more and create more revenues? And they asked, we went into the clarifying questions portion, and they asked questions like, you know, questions like, how do you feel about doing the same kind of food over and over and over again? You know, how do you like always working when your friends have time off? And how do you like always having time off when your friends are at work? How do you like not being able to be generous with your time or give any money to your charitable causes? You know, I was a couple months behind on my Rotary dues at times and things because it was just a slog. You know, I pulled us down several tax brackets, we'll just say. And so in answering those questions, I really knew that the answer to that, which became the first suggestion out, was Scott Jennings. He was a member at that time, founder of Chiba Hut. And Scott says, Bear, you got to park that freaking trailer in your backyard and go get a job. and he was right. You know, I was... And to get a job that's flexible enough to allow you to do more local think tanks, because this is a scalable model. Right. You know, it'll take some time. I actually kind of evaluated, could I go pro on think tank at that time? But it was just too small.
Right.
You know, I would have had to drive Uber or some other stuff or whatever. But so that's what I did. I parked the trailer that fall, eventually sold the business as a going concern, and then got it back, and then sold the trailer and got it back again, and whatever. That's another story. But and I went to work for Thrivent Financial. I interviewed a bunch of different financial services companies. I thought, you know, my banking background, I could just build a wealth management business, and I got a lot of relationships. I thought, you know, I've got all these thinkers, they'll invest with me and help me do their simple plans and whatnot. And Thrivent was a great company. I did pretty good my first year. But in my second year, we had a speaker on goal setting and things like that, and that started the spark. And then just, you know, I confessed to the group that I didn't really want to manage people's money and sell them insurance products. I wanted to do local think tank. That basically killed my Thrivent career. I didn't know it at the time. I continued to work hard at it, and I hired somebody to help me with it. And, you know, I lost quite a bit of money the second half of that year being a Thrivent agent, and then really just built the plan in the fall of 2015, I guess, 2016 now. Gosh, I get my years mixed up.
I want to say.
Yeah, so this is 18.
It had to have been 16.
Yeah, so, fall of 16. And so in the spring of, no, just the spring of 18, just this last year, I launched the fourth Fort Collins chapter. You remember I raised everybody's price from $200 to $250 a month, and had a few attrition moments, but I had to pay my facilitators a little more in other markets, and I had to just get enough for liftoff. And then we launched the Loveland Group, and that's been growing. And so now, here I am, 100% loco.
It's, and you've mentioned it a few times, the concept of clarifying questions, but when you process an issue in a loco think tank member group, for the first 15 to 20 minutes of, you know, you kind of make that issue known, and then nobody's allowed to provide any suggestions.
That's right.
Until everybody has asked all of the questions they want. And I'm sure we can empathize with each other in a sense that many times you are, you provide an issue and people are asking you questions, and you're starting just by them asking questions, you're starting to see the solution in your head. So you kind of know before, and it's just such a valuable way to process issues, because you would think that in a room full of business owners that are fairly experienced, and, you know, most of them are either, everybody is either successful, appears successful, or is hoping to be successful. But I think the tendency would be, oh man, I'm sure that everybody has an opinion on your issue. And so the structure of really diving into the questions actually helps the suggestions and opinions to come out in a lot more focused way, and in a way that you, I mean, it sounds like you kind of, as you're getting asked these questions, you're kind of realizing, okay, I see where this is going.
Right. Right. Well, and we're all, you know, each of us are controlled way more than we want to admit by our ego.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was 40 before I tasted humble pie much. I had always had just kind of continuing promotions and raises and found a beautiful woman that would marry me and all these things. And then all of a sudden I'm flailing at the food truck business. I'm struggling in my financial advising business, but it's really about, I think, finding and refining your purpose in the world and failing forward, you know, not right. being fearful, you know, worry not, right? And mm-hmm. so anyway, that's easy to say when you can put food on the table, but
right. No, it's been a fun journey to watch, and I think it's I think it's always fun when people start something as kind of a side hustle that is really valuable to other people, and then they start realizing, like, you know, maybe this should actually be my main hustle. Like, maybe this should be.
Right.
And it seems like, you know, you mentioned, you used the analogy of a puzzle and how you felt like with the food truck, you were you were solving a puzzle really well some weeks and really poorly some weeks.
Right.
And as
even
a business,
when it was really well, it wasn't that good.
Right. But then how your natural solution, I guess, or question to bring was, so instead of doing a poor job at solving one puzzle, should I solve two puzzles a week?
Right.
Should I add another food truck? And I think sometimes, like, you can't read the bottle, or you can't read the label from inside the bottle,
right.
is what they say. And so it's like, I think there's so many times when as business owners, the suggestions that we have for ourselves and the solutions, it's often to run faster or
right.
to add more or to do more things, when in reality, it sounds like from your story, that it's kind of been like periodically whittling down to where now you have been focused on Think Tank.
You know, my friend John helped me to clarify it. John Shaw, Da Vinci Signs is his business. And he's always been successful. We went for a motorcycle ride and he just said, well, which one thing are you going to be the best in the world at, Kurt?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, a thriving agent with a side business of local Think Tank, of course. You know, he's like, I don't think, you know, I always hear that it can't really be that way.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it is, it's been a rewarding journey. And that we say the three main things that you get from a local Think Tank membership is accountability and perspective and encouragement.
Hmm.
And we all need those three things more than we know. And so, I'm proud of what we've built so far. I'll be satisfied when we can make it relatively easy for a retired, high achieving small business person, wherever they are, to be able to help leverage the local Think Tank resources to build
right.
a small business peer advisory chapter in their community. And we're yeah. a long ways from that point. We're you know, launching a group is like arranging a 7-way arranged marriage, I say, because you have to find that many people that will trust each other and find value in this facilitator that I found for the role. But from there, it's beautiful, and you just bring in different
right.
pieces. And, you know, anyway, I think we could make it easier and easier using just what we learn about launching chapters, and
mm-hmm.
we can kind of be the big funnel that people can learn about local Think Tank, and these facilitators can say, hey, I think I want to do something
right.
like that in my community.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
That's great. And you kind of touched on the future and where you see this thing going. And as we kind of bring this more to a close, cast the vision, help me understand the vision for where you see this going, and where where you hope and plan for Loco Think Tank to be 5 years from now.
5 years. Well, you know, let's just talk about next year first.
Perfect.
But, you know, I think in quarter one next year, we want to, we're going to start another chapter. I've got a small wait list almost and two good prospects for facilitators on the radar that I'm interviewing right now.
Great.
And then I think we're going to launch a next level group for that next size, bigger, more of the not just trying to make it or make it a little bit work a little better and easier, but I'm actually thinking about my legacy now, and I want to be around a community of peers that are going to help me sharpen that, and that'll be a, you know, kind of a more tailored toward that 50 employee to 150 employee small business operator that's still growing and facing different challenges on employee benefits and 401ks and things like that. So look for that maybe as late as the fall of next year, but we're thinking about that. I hope we have 20 chapters around Colorado in 3 years. That's my goal.
Cool.
So we're at 5 now. You know, we'll have 7, maybe 8, 9. Which I hope we get Cheyenne launched early next year. So we've got, I want to go slow and build the foundation strong and do that all on the Front Range where we can support chapters. But then, you know, once we get a critical mass in the Front Range, then we'll kind of develop that, a larger voice where we can, we can speak out to larger regions.
So, and I think there's huge opportunity. You know, we're in Fort Collins, Loveland area, which is growing fast, and there's a, you know, booming business community here, but there's also Denver and Boulder and Colorado Springs. Like, there's a lot of opportunity within Colorado, within the Front Range. And then, you know, past that, it's going to be exciting to see where it goes from there. And I really do think that every community would benefit from one or a handful of think tank groups. I haven't really seen a business community out there that wouldn't benefit from having some value-driven and value-based peer advisory groups.
That's my dream. You know, that's the big goal, is that we can help spread abundance mindset through the small business leaders of these communities, wherever we can, and not just spread the mindset, but you know, Babylon was great not because Babylon's king was rich. Babylon was great because its people, its merchants, its nobles were wealthy, and when Babylon needed to go fight a war, they could draw on those resources. You know, communities can do the same thing when they need to try to address their homelessness problems or their transportation issues. If their business community members are strong, that makes the community strong, and then they can have better schools, they can do better things, they can think bigger. So that's the dream.
That's great. A few last questions. What, you know, I read a lot, and so this is kind of selfish just because I want to know, but I'm sure there's some readers out there that want to know. What have been some books or, you know, whether it's, I'd say books or podcasts, kind of content resources that have been really helpful for you in this journey over the last handful of years?
Gosh. You know, I'm actually going to read Gino Wickman's Traction book, because I listened to the book on tape.
I just finished it like 2 weeks ago, actually,
and I want to apply that to myself better as this journey unfolds. I think it's the perfect kind of toolkit for somebody in my position, like being thoughtful from a foundational level. The one thing podcast is something that I don't just listen to every podcast, but just keeping that principle of in mind of, okay, what's the one thing I can do today that will make other things easier or unnecessary in my business, you know, and just applying that principle relentlessly is kind of good. Joe Rogan's podcast is surprisingly useful from a business standpoint and just understanding, you know, I lovingly try to include myself into the kind of intellectual dark web where even though we disagree, we can talk nicely amongst each other. And I'm proud of that environment in our groups. We build intentionally diverse groups, and that means we have a, you know, a Baptist from Georgia and a swearing heathen from wherever, and they begin to understand one another more. And so that's an influence, How I Built This. I love that podcast just because I love to hear those stories.
How I Built This is great. And for those of you that didn't pick up, the One Thing podcast is built off of the book, The One Thing. Is it Gary Keller?
That's right. Yeah, I think so.
Founder of Keller Williams. And it's a brilliant book. But yeah, I
read the book too, but
yeah, it's good. And I recently read Traction, have been, even though they kind of say in that book, their target is like for businesses 2 to 50 million. But a lot of the principles are still super valuable for businesses that are not in that range yet. And stuff. So what are any parting words that you have with small business owners, scattered around the country that happen to be listening to this episode?
You know, I would say find a safe place. And you can learn some about how we run our meetings. I've told you a little bit about, but if you don't have a think tank there, if you don't have an opportunity, find six or eight people that you're really comfortable with and take turns being the facilitator of the meeting, if that's what works, or find somebody in your community. I'm going to, you know, do it like we do it, and find yourself a safe place that you can process and have some perspective sprinkled into your world and get some encouragement when you need it.
That's great. I will definitely put your information and, you know, the website and stuff in the show notes, but if people want to get in contact with you, or they, you know, are interested, if, you know, I want to give the opportunity for, if people are listening, for if they say, wow, that is exactly what we need or what we've been trying to build in our community, what's the best way for them to get in touch to you and to kind of start that dialogue, if you'll have it?
Yeah, I'd love to have it. Great. You know, connect at locothinktank, locothinktank.com.
Cool.
Is a good way to get in touch. You can just email it there. It'll go to my admin, but she'll forward it on. You can sign up for our newsletter to just keep an ear out as far as where we're thinking about new chapters. That's right on our website. There's a sign up on our newsletter right here in the upper left kind of thing.
Great.
You know, you can call me. I'm at that stage in business, and this is a abundance town, right? 970-698-6977. But it's on the website.
When this podcast is huge one day, you're going to go back and be like, please delete take episode one. Off. Or Jill will call me. Take my husband's number out of your podcast.
Oh, that's the office line, actually.
Oh, okay.
So
good.
You may hit the voicemail.
All right. Great. Well, thank you for joining us and for being on the inaugural episode.
Thanks for having me.
One of Kurt's giftings, and this is a self-proclaimed gifting of Kurt's, but I can affirm it. It's true that it's gift. As Kurt has always said, that he's good at seeing the secret sauce of business owners. And so for the next handful or so of episodes, maybe a couple handfuls, I don't really know, but Kurt's going to join me at the end of our podcasts. And we're going to kind of reflect on the conversation together to pull out three or four like tangible walkaways for small business owners. So we don't really just want to provide great conversations, but we want to provide tangible things that actually help your business grow. So you'll be hearing more from Kurt in coming
days. I
thank
you for that opportunity. That's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you all for listening. Without further ado, thanks for joining us today. And we'll see you next week on the Small Business Storyteller Show. What a wonderful conversation with Kurt Baer we just had. This is a part of the show where we take a few minutes to give you the most practical walkaways from our conversation. Like I said before, we don't want this just to be conversations about business. We want you as a small business owner who wants to grow your business to actually have practical things you can walk away with and apply. And so if you're a purpose-driven entrepreneur, I encourage you to ponder these three takeaways from this conversation. First off, stop doing it alone. Owning a business is really hard, and it might be a group of friends, it might be a mentor, it might be a peer advisory group like Loco Think Tank, but I encourage you, find somebody that you can trust to talk with about the challenges that you're facing, because it's not worth doing it alone. No business owner has ever made it by doing it alone. There's always a team. There's always a support system behind everybody who's successful. And so I encourage you, stop doing it alone. Secondly, if you have some side hustle, be aware of how thin it might be spreading yourself. In Kurt's story, I loved how, you know, he talked about how, over a few years, how he had always had a couple different projects going on. And, you know, Loco Think Tank started, but that was kind of a side hustle. And then it became his main hustle. But his other things were pulling him in different directions. And luckily, thanks to the support of his peer advisory group, he was able to see that he was actually spread a lot more thin than he thought. And so I encourage you to take a look at what you're doing each day. Take a look at your side hustles. I encourage you to take a look at your side hustles, if you have any, and consider how thin they might be spreading you. Is it worth it? Is the effort you're losing in doing multiple things worth it? Or maybe one of your side hustles should actually be your main hustle, like what Kurt was saying, where, you know, Loco Think Tank was something on the side. And then he realized, you know, this is probably actually what I should be doing with all of my time. And that really unlocked him to be able to grow it at the pace that he's been wanting to grow it. Lastly, pay attention to your network. One of my favorite things about Kurt's story is how, you know, he was talking about the conversation with his friend Mike and how Mike said, you know, you should do this, but make it cheaper. And in that, he had a trusted community and network of friends and of business owners. And in hearing that, he realized, you know what, I actually could do that. And so the solution to what he had been wanting to do was actually right in front of him. It was within his network. And I think for a lot of you, some of the answers to the questions you have, they might be right in front of you. They might be with your friends or with your network. And so I encourage you, pay attention to the people around you and to your network, because some of the solutions that you're looking for, or maybe the business idea that you've been wanting to launch, it might actually be among the pain. It might actually be right in front of you among your network. So as you walk into this next week, don't forget to stop doing it alone. If you have some side hustles, just be aware of how thin they might be spreading you. And this is an amazing week for you, and I hope that this episode has been valuable for you. This truly has been a wonderful conversation, and I encourage you, don't forget to tune in to our next episode next week, where we dive into the story of another small business owner. Friends, thank you so much for listening today. It means the world to us. If you enjoyed this story and this episode, the absolute best way for you to say thank you is to share this with someone you know that needs to hear this story and to leave us a review on iTunes. This podcast getting reviews will show the powers that be that they should put this in front of more people just like you. Also, how many of you like free money? I know I do. If you leave a review, take a screenshot of that review and send it to me on Instagram at Seth Silvers. Each month, I'll be sending one lucky reviewer a free Amazon gift card. No strings attached. So, if you like stories, you like free money, please leave us a review on iTunes and you might be the lucky winner. With that said, I will see you next week on the Small Business Storytellers. Have an amazing week.